Accession number 28723, Reel 2.
Costa, Reel 2.
Well, after the Tirpitz operations and a bit of convoy work, we went back down to the Unsonant and transferred onto the American Avenger, which was a beautiful aircraft off the Barracuda.
Can you describe that for me? Give me a kind of thumbnail.
It's a monoplane. It's got a bomb bay rather than have the bombs slung underneath outside. It's got 2.5s firing forward and another 0.5 in a turret at the back and another 303 firing underneath, which made us feel better because in the Barracuda we felt a bit defenceless. And we went out east and that's where we stayed until the war finished. On the way out we bombed the Jap oil fields at Palembang in Sumatra, and I think they were getting short of oil by that time, the old Japs, and I think we put that more or less out of commission, so it put them in real trouble.
Can you describe to me that operation as much as you can remember?
Well, it's very dodgy. It was the worst one we'd done, in as much as we had further to fly from the carrier to the target. If they can, they will bring the ship in as near to the land as possible so that we haven't got as far to go. But this was a very long operation. And they had balloons, and we lost quite a lot of people there. And three of the members of one crew, they went down and they were taken prisoners, and the Japs did really treat them badly. In the end, they beheaded them. And there is a stained glass window to their memory in the church at Yeovilton.
Were they beheaded at the end of the war, although they'd been prisoners for that period of time?
I'm not sure exactly, but I know some people were killed after war had finished. Because we not only had the Japs to fear out there, because we didn't know what they were going to do to us if we went down, but the sharks weren't friendly either. But I was coming out from the attack, and my air gunner shouted through to me to say there was a Jap on our tail. And his job to give me jinking instructions to see. And he said he's coming in on the port quarter, and I would turn which way he told me. And then it sort of all went quiet, and apparently we didn't know at the time, but he jammed his turret. And if you jam your turret on an Avenger, you can't release it until you land. So he was in a pretty bad state. Anyway, in the end, my observer went. The gun underneath the 303, there is a seat in the back. And if you use the gun, you go under the seat and clamp it down on top of it. He thought he'd done this, but there was a bit of rope scudding around in the back of the aircraft, and he hadn't. And when I was doing the violent maneuvers to get away from this Jap, he was being chucked around the inside of the aircraft. At one stage, he had hold of the control wires. I found myself having to put God knows how much strength on the stick to bring her out. And in doing that, I didn't know then he'd cut his hand all the way through with the control wires pretty badly. But anyway, we were getting pretty desperate, this old, I suppose, and frightened. I suppose in the end the Jap had used up all his ammunition, and he came around in front of me like that. It was a silly thing to do, and I shot him down. So that was my claim to fame.
Do you had within the front of it, did you have a gun sight and the bomb thrown forward?
Yeah, bomb sight and a gun sight. And all sorts of things happened. We were going into attack one day, And I think I'd been hit, but the engine stopped. And I immediately turned around out of the attack and jettisoned my bombs. And the engine started again, but there was black smoke coming out all over the place. We went in the direction of the ship and went as quickly as we could, but wasn't very fast because the engine was very, very rough. And we signalled the ship, and the ship said, we're being attacked by fighters, fly due south in the circle, which we did, and I'd already given the orders to ditch, but she still just managed to keep going. In the end, the ship signalled us and said, come on in, which we did, and as soon as we landed, it burst into flames and they just pushed it straight overboard. One aircraft.
When you'd attacked the oil refineries, had you been given a specific target within the oil refinery, or was it really just, it large enough for you to see?
Oh, it was big. I mean, when we finished, the smoke was going up in the air 40-odd thousand feet. We really plastered. I think we did it on 2 days. I mean, when we had five carriers, and we could put up 400 planes. It's quite a formidable force. And we had one bad incident there. We were told that there were balloons, which we hadn't encountered before, and some of the fighters were supposed to go over the first ring of balloons, which we could dive over the first ring and shoot the balloons down the other side. And one of our squadrons came in the wrong direction and straight into the balloons. I think about five planes went down there, 15 people, three in each plane. But we lost a couple to sharks. We saw that on a takeoff. One plane hit another, and the pilots got out of their aircraft when they went in the sea. And you'd be amazed at the amount of sea covered with blood. But I came back one day, and I felt a draft on my face. And why the front screen hadn't shattered, I don't know, but there was a hole right there in front of my 0.5 bullet hole. And we looked for them. All we could see was an indentation in the armour plate beyond my head. So I must have been right over the... Where the bullet went out, I don't know, because we used to come back with a fair amount of bullet holes here and there.
Were there any facilities for sort of air sea rescue for
you at that stage? Yeah, there was an American submarine. And I didn't have to use it, fortunately, but I know someone that did, and they said that they were absolutely superb. They would go straight into the minefield if we went down in a minefield, and it was a bit frightening not knowing what a submarine was like with a flying voice. And of course, they couldn't go straight back and put them down, so they had to stay there until they went into port.
So the attacks on Palembang, were they successful, and were you aware of that at the time?
We were told, yes, because as I think I said, the Japs were getting very, very short of oil, and they got an awful lot of oil from there, and we more or less put it out of commission, bang, for the rest of the war. And after that, we went on up through the Philippines and attacked Formosa, Ishigaki, Miyako, and these are islands. We were the support force to to the Americans who were going into to an Okinawa.
At that time, what kind of targets would you have there? What were the things
Aerodromes.
And when attacking an aerodrome, what are you looking for when you're attacking? Is it aircraft, or is it buildings, or is it both, or is it...
They always had their aircraft very well tucked out of sight. But we weren't attacking them. I mean, we were attacking the runways. But the thing is, as soon as we attack the runways, we could see the little so-and-sos out there filling them in again. But I suppose we did do and assist the Americans quite a lot. And then we went further on up. I wasn't on board then, but we finished up in Tokyo Bay.
When you were flying to attack the airfields, is it your job as the pilot to say where you're going to lay your bombs on the runway, or is it in conjunction with, say, the observer?
No. pilot. And we were dive bombers. Always dive bombers. I mean, a different procedure if you had to high-level bomb and you use a gun sight, but when you dive bomb, we'd had bags of practice and experience. You sight along the nose, and you're more or less like that. And you go down from, again, about 10,000-12,000 feet to about 1,000 feet and pull out.
What about anti-aircraft fire? Was it accurate, the Japanese anti-aircraft fire?
Very accurate and plenty of it. Yeah. You were very, very lucky not to come back with a hole here and there. One that you didn't want.
And what's the sensation as you kind of pull out of the dive and you fly across the airfield?
You black out. Black out for a start. And you pull out a bit quick, you see, and the blood rushes down. It only lasts for a second, perhaps 2 seconds, and then you hightail it back towards the ship, form up, and that's it. You don't stop to help a bloke if someone's in trouble on the way in. You can on the way out.
And during that period, you say you were supporting the Americans. Was that really to hold down any kind of Japanese fighter activity that could be over the fleas?
Well, yes. I mean, there was plenty there. I mean, they were very crafty, these people. What they did, the Japs, they wouldn't bother us when we went in. They would let us bomb, but they would follow us back. And that's when they did the damage. But I joined the Navy on April the 1st, April Fool's Day, at 7 o'clock in the morning. And we were hit by a kamikaze on April the 1st at 7 o'clock in the morning. 20-odd killed and 60 wounded. And that was the first one of eight. We had eight kamikaze attacks and survived them all. The first one blew a great big hole in the side of the island. They always went for the control tower. And you could have driven a double-decker bus. And we were all landed. I'm stuttering a bit here this morning. It blew a hole as big as you could have driven a double-decker bus through it. But then we were all ranged on deck. We had, 18 Avengers arranged, 10 Fireflies, and about 15 Seafires. And of course we all scarpered out of the aircraft as quick as we could. One of the barriers was put out of action, but we were flying off again within 30 minutes. Nobody panicked. It's proud to be English.
I believe the English carriers were different from the American carriers, weren't they?
The Americans had wooden decks, which were very vulnerable and, of course, could burn, but we had armour-plated decks. Well, between the two lifts, one lift at the back, one in the front. I suppose the armour-piercing was, armour-plated was about 4 inches thick. Yeah, really built.
So could they repair the damage if a kamikaze had hit the deck?
Well, what they did in this case, because we had to get the planes off, you see, we were out to do a mission, they got out plates of steel and just put them over the holes. And it was a bit rough taking off, but okay.
And you say there were eight kamikaze attacks on that. Was it always the same sort?
That was my ship, had eight. Some of the others probably had more.
Was that the worst damage you saw at that time?
The first one. Yeah. First one was worse, yeah. One came in, and he must have been dead before he got to us, because he was in a shallow dive, and he hit the deck, and the bomb didn't go off, and he just bounced off. But I remember one Jap came down, and he missed his target, and landed in the sea, and there was a terrific explosion. And they picked him up, and he wasn't even unconscious. It's funny things happen in war.
Was he happy to be taken prisoner?
I don't know. He wasn't near us. He was on another ship. But Didn't hear much about it. That's all I heard. But what else is there I can tell you? I did hit another plane in midair at night once. That was in a Swordfish. We were both... I had two trainee observers in the back. We were up in Scotland. And the flying Swordfish and the electrics failed. And the boys in the back couldn't navigate, you see, because they couldn't see their charts. So I said, we better go back. And on the way back, there was a lamp flashing, which looked as if it was flashing. Well, I said, if you're being signaled by all this, it's got to be pointed straight at you to read it. And it looked as if it was. I said, can you read that? And in that time, there was a terrific great bump. And that was it. And something seemed to be loose underneath. And then it stopped. And I landed back on the aerodrome. And I thought, well, that's all right, nothing happened. And as soon as I thought, it's okay, we bang, bang. Nobody hurt, a scratch or two. And apparently we had hit an albacore. And my right undercarriage leg had hit his main plane and ripped it off. And he crash landed. I think he was pretty badly hurt. It was just one bloke in it. But I got away with it because he was flying at the wrong height. When you go out on these, a lot of aircraft in the air, you fly at your own height. And if you don't, that sort of thing happens. But it was quite nasty.
It sounds like the Swordfish is quite a sturdy aircraft.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, lovely. Yeah.
You also mentioned earlier that you'd flown the albacore as well. What was that like? Because that was meant to be a replacement for the Swordfish, wasn't it?
Sort of. It was like a Swordfish, but it was an enclosed cockpit. No difference, really. The engine wasn't quite the same. It was a Bristol Pegasus in that. It was quite a bit different, but virtually the aircraft was the same. Because the Swordfish was one of the typical things that they gave to the Navy. I don't know if you know, but the tailplane was offset. So because if it was in line, it wouldn't keep straight. So they offset it, and that kept it straight. Stupid thing. You think I'm joking, don't you? one other thing I was involved in. We lost the fleet train, and we sent off three Avengers to do a three-sided search to see if we could find them. We knew which direction they should have been. Anyway, the weather was so bad. The cloud base was something like 150 feet. It was really down. And when we found them and turned back, and when we got back on, we found that the other two planes had turned back, and we were the only ones that stayed in the air. And I had a commendation from the Admiral.
How did you finish your time in the Far East?
I finished my second lot of time and did a bit of stooging until they wanted all the carriers and things for transporting prisoners of war, and came home. I came home on the name of the ship. Now, merchant ship came back, and that was it. They didn't want us anymore, and soon after that, I came out.
Can I just clarify the squadrons that you were? Because you were 826 when you were operational in the Far East.
No, 820.
So it was 826, was that with the Tirpitz?
Yes. There was two squadrons, 826 squadron and 820 squadron. Both are frontline squadrons. And then they wanted this dive bombing wing, so they amalgamated 826 and 820 together and called it 820 because 820 was a senior squadron.
I see. So that was how the operational thing
you
did? Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
Really, just one last question then. How do you feel now about having served with the Fleet Air Arm in the Second World War?
I'm very proud and very pleased to have got through it okay, and my only regret was I should have stayed in.